friends, I'm sure that you appreciate the fact that our subject is timely. Never in all history has there been so much confusion, distress, and perplexity. Truly, it is crisis time. Crisis everywhere. Crisis in the nations of the earth, among the governments of the earth, in the institutions of the earth. Crisis in church, crisis in state. Crisis in the air, crisis everywhere. Real crisis time. Just would love to read a few clippings from your daily paper. Living costs rise again. Only a few countries are not bankrupt. Mr. Baxter of 68 Wells Street tells us, confidential report. Hardly a week passes that we see one or two countries reducing the value of their money. Russia, the most important one. The official rate of the ruble was 25 cents. Today it's down to a dollar. No doubt we'll hear many things about this. The Spanish currency was reduced to another 33%. From India to France, dollars are worthless. Now the cashing of saving bonds is on. Banks, insurance companies, individuals are selling their bonds. In the second chapter of Isaiah, we read, the time would come when they would cast the idols of their gold into the streets, into the bats and the moles. The prophet Ezekiel tells us they shall be worthless like the dust under the feet. Men do not have gold. It's against the law to have gold. But they have the idols of their gold. And they'll soon begin to cast them away because they'll be worthless. Isaiah 1:15, we read, when you make many prayers, I will not answer you, for your hands are full of blood. Real crisis time. What is your dollar worth? This morning paper, we read about a double-barreled blast in Nevada. Like an earthquake. Two Romanian leaders ousted. Four big Russian leaders ousted. The big bugs are being ousted by the little bugs. It reminds us of the plowshares in the Bible. The prophet Amos tells us that the plowshares go very deep. The plow does go deep, brings up the undercrust, and the upper crust goes under. One minister stood upon his feet while I was giving a talk of this kind in Louisville, Kentucky, and he said, Mr. Speaker, that represents labor and capital. I said, that's right, and it's been in the Bible 4,000 years. Steel has raised $6 a ton. What will it mean? Strikes, strikes, strikes everywhere. You walk down the streets of Brooklyn and New York, you'll see banners everywhere. Strikes, crisis. What does this all mean? It means that we're at the end of this age. The scientists speak of ages that have passed. And the Bible also speaks of ages that have passed. The first age, we believe, was the Azoic Age, the lifeless age. Then came the Trias stage, then the Paleozoic Age. Then the Reptilian Age, then the Antediluvian Age, and the Patriarchal Age, and the Jewish Age, and now the Gospel Age closing, and soon a new age. We're entering it tonight. The Messianic Age, the Kingdom Age, the Millennial Age, spoken everywhere in your Bible. A man said to me, well, I never saw it in the Bible. Have you never read in the Bible where Christ would rule and reign 1,000 years? Oh, yes, that's it. That's what it means. The 1,000-year reign of Christ. A new age is now being ushered in. You and I are living in the most wonderful time and the most momentous time in all history. The great men and the wise men and the chief captains of the earth would like to bring an adjustment in the social order. But we fear, friends, that they cannot stabilize the situation. It's too late. There's one plan spoken of, and that's the plan of God, not the plan of men. All the plans and schemes of men shall fail. There's only one plan that will carry, and that's called the plan of the ages, the plan of God, Ephesians 3:11. This plan will never fail. We find the Bible to be the most wonderful book ever written. And we as students of the Bible believe the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, the Old Testament as well as the New. You remember Jesus said in the 24th chapter of Matthew, to search the Scriptures. And Jesus made that statement, there was no New Testament written. He referred to the Old Testament. And Jesus said in that same chapter, when you see those things come to pass, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then let him that readeth understand. Daniel wrote of Jesus, and Jesus spake of Daniel. In order to understand the book, we must study the Old Testament as well as the New. Then you'll have the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's why Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And again, he was referring to the Old Testament, wasn't he? But now you and I, we have the New Testament. We expect to quote from the Old as well as the New. Jesus told us to do this. The first chapter of Zephaniah, we read about a dark and gloomy day, that men shall walk like blind men. How true that is today. Yes, the prophet said that this would be a day of great wasteness. Never was so much waste in all history. That's the day that you and I are living in. And in that same chapter, beginning with the 14th verse, the prophet said they'll cast their silver in the streets. and their gold shall be removed from them. And their gold nor their silver shall deliver them in the day of his wrath. The day of his wrath, yes. What does that mean? God's righteous indignation expressed. I'm sure we see that. But you'll say when they cast their gold and their silver out in the streets, we can pick it up, can't we? No, it's too late. It's too late. They've already cast it out. Billions and billions upon billions have been cast out into the street. Streets are symbolic. Symbolic language. Avenues. Avenues of war. Lend-lease. Where did it go to? Where did it go to? It's like the old banker in Mexico City said to me. Ah, he says, you gave Great Britain $19 billion. Goodbye. He said, it's gone. It'll never come back. Let me see. You gave Russia $9 billion. Goodbye. You'll never see it. You spent $7,500,000,000 on the Marshall Plan. He lifted up his hand like that, with these gray hair telling you, you're going to have the greatest financial crash the world has ever seen. I said, that's what the Bible teaches. He said, it does. Well, he said, my priest never told me about it. And I quoted this scripture in Zephaniah, why? He said, I'd like to hear more of that. I think more would like to hear it too, don't you? Yes, the prophet Zephaniah told us. And Jesus said men's hearts would fail them for fear, looking after those things coming upon the earth. And I believe that's true, don't you? Plenty heart failure today. Now back to the Old Testament, Psalms 107. The earth reels to and fro and staggers like a drunken man. When? Tonight! The literal earth? Oh, we've had many, many earthquakes. 5,000 lost their lives in Iran yesterday. But I believe this refers to a symbolic earthquake. Society, the social structure, is reeling to and fro and staggering like a drunken man. And as a result, the human family are at their wits' end. Now, we didn't put that in the Bible, did we? It's been there 4,000 years. It's taking place before our very eyes. It's because it's crisis time. You're living in that very, very day. God's righteous indignation is being expressed. Everything that's hidden shall be made manifest. All of the schemes and theories of men and all the corruption will be made manifest, and you'll see it. That's why we say we're living in the most remarkable time in all history. In Psalms 30 and 5, we read that weeping may endure for the night, but joy, joy cometh in the morning. What a beautiful prophecy. Yes, it's been night since the Garden of Eden. Since the Garden of Eden, friends, we've had sin, sorrow, sickness and death, iniquity, unrighteousness, envy, jealousy, hatred, murder and war. What a dark night. But now the morning is dawning. We're in the dawning of the new day. Joy will come in the morning, that morning that all Christian people have been praying for. Thy kingdom come. When your mother taught you to pray, thy kingdom come, she never taught you in this manner, thy kingdom depart or thy kingdom go up. No, no. Thy kingdom come, the dawning of the morning, the dawning of the new day is just before us. Oh, what a day that will be for the human race. The prophet Daniel tells us, Jesus said, to study the book of Daniel, we're going to be obedient and do that. The entire book of Daniel is marvelous, spectacular. 12th chapter of Daniel, the 4th verse, Daniel said, there shall be such a time of trouble as there never was since there was a nation. Knowledge would be increased. Knowledge increased? Yes. I wonder if that's true. Are we living in that day? Yes, we're living in that day. Since 1914, at the ending of the Gentile times that Jesus spoke about, there's been such a time of trouble as there never was since there was a nation. It isn't over yet, as we shall see. But during that time, knowledge would be increased. Men have attributed all of this to themselves. They said this is the brain age. But friends, the Bible tells us that knowledge would be increased. Where would it come from? From the Lord. From the Lord. And the prophet Daniel said in that chapter, at that time Michael, the great prince, who is the greatest prince in the universe, who wears the golden crown, Christ Jesus the Lord. That's Michael. That time Michael would stand up, assume authority, and knowledge would be increased. Where did it come from? Came from the Lord. And the scientist tells us today that we're living in the push-button age. Scientist in Rochester, New York, said that. He said there's a strange light encircling the earth. We do not know what it is. A great increase of knowledge is in the earth. A great illumination. But we scientists don't know what it is. But you and I, if we're Bible students, we know. Came from the Lord. Michael assumed authority. He brought forth this increase of knowledge. And then he said, as a result of this, there'd be a great running to and fro in the earth. Hear him going by? In the air, under the water, and over the land. Running to and fro in the earth. As a result of the increase of knowledge, and such a time of trouble as there never was since there was a nation. There's a prophecy in the Old Testament I'd like to call to mind. Some of you students of the Bible have the reprints. You'll find it. Page 107. This prophecy is found in the 21st chapter of Ezekiel. 25th, 26th, 27th verses. Here the prophet tells us, after King Zedekiah lost his throne, the prophet said, I will overturn overturn it and give it to him whose right it is. Now, whose right could it be? Michael, the one that wears the golden crown, the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus, and he'll be king over all the earth in that day. But firstly, these overturnings must take place. When did the first overturning come? Right there and then, the first overturning came for the Jewish house in 606 B.C. Secular history will tell you that. The temple was destroyed and Jerusalem was destroyed. The first overturning took place. Jesus prophesied the second overturning for the Jewish house. And it came right on time in A.D. 70. Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us there was a comet that hung right over the city of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. And what happened? Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. 3 million were slain by the edge of the sword. Women ate their own children. That was the second overturning. Will there be three? Yes. One more to follow. What is it? Your Bible tells you. Let us go to the Bible. To the Word of God. The 16th chapter and the 30th chapter of Jeremiah. The great prophet Jeremiah tells us that the last overturning for the Jewish house would be Jacob's last trouble, and I believe it's very near. Watch Israel. One more great conflict for the house of Israel. A third overturning. And it'll take place. And I think we're almost there. The 8th chapter of Zechariah we read in prophecy. I will bring a remnant of my people to the land of promise. And yet old men and old women of very old age shall walk in the streets of Jerusalem. And little children shall play in the streets of Jerusalem. I can't do that properly now, but the time will come when there shall be peace in Jerusalem. That means peace, doesn't it? And then that prophet said, Jerusalem shall be called the City of Truth. Yes, it'll be called the City of Truth. And I believe it'll become the capital of the world. The prophet Jeremiah tells us something in the first chapter of Jeremiah. God Almighty spake to Jeremiah. His father was a high priest. Jeremiah was used of God as a prophet. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, what seest thou? He said, I see an almond rod that budded. God Almighty said, thou hast well seen. I will hasten to perform it. All Bible students know what that means. Aaron's rod that budded was placed in the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy of the tabernacle. And it represented the elect character of Christ. And God said, I'll hasten to perform it. And he's doing it. And the voice came the second time to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, what seest thou? And he was looking in the north country. And God Almighty spake. But firstly, Jeremiah said, I see a seething pot, a boiling cauldron. Leser translation gives it. Then the voice of the Lord came and said, out of the north an evil shall break forth unto all the inhabitants of the earth. What's north of Palestine? Russia. Where did the radical spirit begin? Russia. It's spreading the entire earth isn't it? You might as well take a broom and try to sweep back the waves of the Atlantic Ocean. It's all through Canada, everywhere. God foretold it 4,000 years ago. Then the Lord said, of the kingdoms of the north kingdoms will come down and set their gates at the entering of Jerusalem. Then the Lord said he would utter his judgments against them. That will be the time. Watch for it. The 14th chapter of Zechariah, the Lord said, then their eyes shall consume in their holes, and their tongues shall consume in their mouths, and their flesh shall consume while they stand upon their feet. That will be Russia's Waterloo and every nation that will fight against Israel. The Lord will have to destroy them all. I'd think they'd keep their hands off, wouldn't you? They're playing with dynamite. Keep their hands off in Israel. The time has come for their deliverance. God Almighty will deliver them. Your Bible teaches it from Genesis to Revelation. Most remarkable time in all history. But you'll say, three overturnings for the Jew. Yes, there's three overturnings for the Gentiles too. If you'll open your Bible to 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, you will read them. The prophet Elijah saw them. The prophet Elijah represents the bride of Jesus, the church on this side of the veil. Jesus said that. Elijah must first come. What did Elijah see? Saw the rending of the mountains. A mountain in the Bible is symbolic of the kingdoms. When did it take place? In 1914, when the Gentile times ended. But the Lord wasn't in it. And after a short period of time, Elijah saw the earthquake, Revolutionary War, the Second Global War. Did you have them? I will overturn once, overturn twice. You find a man on earth that could deny it? Do you think we'll have the third one? Everybody's holding their breath. Is that right? You'll have it all right. And that will mean Elijah saw it, fire from heaven. God's righteous indignation expressed, the wrath of God. That's right. The third one will come. And it's so remarkable. It will come the same time that the last overturning comes for the Jewish house. They both come together. Both come together. Or in other words, with one broom, the Lord is going to clean house, both Jew and Gentile. Then we'll have peace. Peace in earth. And goodwill towards man. Yes, the old world has gone mad, friend. But there's a remedy. There's a remedy for this mad world. God has that remedy. It's in the Bible. We want to talk about that. We want to spend the rest of our time on the remedy. Because it's so grand, it's so beautiful, outstanding. There's one prophecy I'd like to call to mind before we start on this remedy. That one's found in Revelation 16:13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And these are spirits of devils working miracles before all of the kings of the earth and the whole world. And he, Christ, gathered them, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, and the whole world. He gathered them in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. There's something remarkable about all this. The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. I think you all know who the beast and the false prophet would be. But who's the dragon? In the fourth volume of scripture studies, beginning with the first chapter, you'll have an entire chapter on it, if you'd like to read it. The dragon. Dragon means devourer. And this devourer, or this dragon, will devour the entire earth. When I was a boy, Mother had one of those large family Bibles. And my brother Freddie and I, we'd like to look at it. And we'd page it, and when we come to the dragon, that was enough. We were ready to crawl under the bed. They pictured that to us as literal. A literal dragon that was going to devour the whole earth. How foolish. No, it isn't literal. It's symbolic. Symbolic expression. Now, let me ask you an intelligent question. You can answer this yourself. Think of the conditions in the earth today. Really, what's devouring the earth today? Symbolic earth. Social structure. The inhabitants of the earth. Not the literal earth. Taxation. Taxation. That's what's doing it. Taxation that come from the civil powers. That's the dragon of the Bible. And it's devouring the human race. Or do you think it'll come down? No chance. Keep it going up. Keep it going up. Keep it going up until it devours the human family. Back as far as 1884, that faithful and wise servant said that. Now it's coming to pass. Dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Before all of the kings of the earth. What king? The beef king, the sugar king, the oil king, the financial king, political king, coal king, steel king, religious king, whiskey kings, all of them. They're all being lined up. You remember in your boyhood days when you memorized the second psalm? The Lord would sit in the heavens and he would laugh. I think he laughs often, don't you? This foolishness down here. He would sit in the heavens and he would laugh. He would have them all in derision. He would vex them in his sore displeasure. And he would speak to them in his wrath. 10 volcanoes in Texas. A terrible, terrible condition in Louisiana. Tidal wave. Animals floating around. And now the snakes are coming out. An article in the Detroit paper said that there was pestilence in Louisiana. God speaks to them in his wrath in many different ways, but they will not hear. Keep right on going. Keep right on going, raising prices and strikes. Crisis, time. But here's what your Bible tells you. The joy will come in the morning. And the morning already is dawning. That's what the Lord said to the prophet in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. Watchmen, what of the night? Every loyal Christian is a watchman. And they know all about the night. And they can answer. Watchmen, what of the night? A morning cometh. It's a morning to us who study the Bible. The morning is dawning. But a night also. What is the night? This battle of the great day of the Lord God Almighty. The last overturning. I will overturn it. That'll be a dark night. And the Sun of Righteousness will shine with healing in its beams. You and I have a beautiful message to give to the people. Isaiah 35, beginning with the 4th verse. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. You have a message. I have a message. All people have a fearful heart today, friends. They fear this condition. Frank and Ernest is doing it over the air, everywhere. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, for your God cometh. He cometh with a vengeance. He cometh with a recompense. That's Armageddon. That's the last overturning. That's the battle of the great day of the Lord God Almighty. He cometh with a vengeance. He's going to clean house. And then the next verse says, he will come to save you, all you people. All of the people that are walking in the streets of Los Angeles. All that are dead, both Jew and Gentile, and will prove it. He will come to save you. When will this salvation come to the human family? After Armageddon. After the third overturning, and not until. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Then the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And the wilderness, in the wilderness waters shall spring forth. And the desert shall bud and blossom as a rose. We knew that was in the Bible. We didn't know how to use it. It couldn't apply until after the battle of the great day of the Lord God Almighty. And at the same time, we see how the Lord is preparing the earth for the human family. See how he's preparing Palestine for the house of Israel. You and I are living in that day, in the beginning of the thousand-year day. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. I had a peculiar experience. I said to a minister, sat in with me while I was traveling on the train from Cleveland to Pittsburgh. I thought I'd ask him a question about Father Adam. I said, Father Adam, according to the scriptures, Genesis 5:5, tell us that Adam lived 930 years and he died. I said, what do you believe about Adam? Is he dead or isn't he dead? Well, he said, when he transgressed, he sinned and he died a spiritual death. Well, then you think he's alive somewhere. Well, yes. I knew then Adam was down in that other place. But I said to him, you said that Adam lived 930 years and he died. And now you say he died a spiritual death when he sinned. So, Pastor, he died twice, so he must be dead. He got up and left me. Ah, how nonsensical. Father Adam lived 930 years and he died. He died within that day. For the Lord said, in the day that thou, the entire being, not the body, not a spirit, or anything else, but thou, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And it came to pass. That was the thousand-year day. He lived 930 years, and he died right within that first thousand-year day. And he's still dead. He's waiting for the last day. How long is that? A thousand-year day. Well, whose day is that? That's the day of the Lord. Oh, I see. The day of the Lord is the seventh day. That's right. That's the last day. That's right. And then Adam will come back. That's right. Oh, but how about the human family? They too will return from the land of the enemy, death, to the land of the living. Well, where will that be? Los Angeles will be in it. This Saturday night, I imagine, is pretty tough. But it's going to be in it just the same. The whole earth will bud and blossom as a rose. That thousand-year day in the which Christ Jesus the Lord will bring back our loved one, Babby Graham. Those that you put in the tomb, those that you put in the grave, they're going to come back. Both Jew and Gentile. My, what a message. That's the message of the Bible. They silently sleep in the dust of the earth, but they shall awake. But I fancy someone saying, I never could understand that word resurrection. Well, if you'd ask one of our Greek brethren, he'll tell you that it's the Greek word anastasis, and it means a restanding. How plain. Father Adam lost his standing before God, and all of the human family lost their standing before God. But Christ Jesus bought them, purchased them, redeemed them, ransomed them, and he's going to give them a re-standing with God. Resurrection. If there's any German people here, it's Auferstehung. I think that's plainer than the English. All that are in their graves. Jesus said this, John 5, 28 and 29. All that are in their graves shall hear. They must be dead. Even the prophet Job said, if a man die, shall he live again? Oh, yes. All my appointed time in that grave will I wait till my change come. Then thou shalt call. Well, if he was in heaven, the Lord would need not to call him, would he? But the Lord's going to call him. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. And the prophet Job, you mean to tell us, is dead? Yes, he's dead. But you know, he prophesied in that 33rd chapter of Job, the old man shall return to the days of his youth, and his flesh shall become fresher than a child. Oh, ladies, too. Return to the days of your youth. You mean to tell me that take place on the West Coast? Yeah. It's going to take place everywhere. For his dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the rivers unto the ends of the earth. Well, how could Job say a thing like that? Well, read it. Job said, I found a ransom. Oh, he didn't know anything about the ransom back there. No, it was long, long after that when Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. And he's going to find that ransom. Every man, woman, and child will find it. They haven't found it yet. Only a few have found it, and they've passed from death unto life. They passed out of Adam into Christ. They passed from human to spiritual. They found the ransom. But that ransom will affect every man, woman, and child that ever lived upon the earth. St. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, God will have all men to be saved. Saved what from? Why, from death, of course. Well, you have to bring them back. That's right. God will have all men to be saved and then come to an accurate knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified over there to all in due time. And St. Paul said, I speak the truth, I lie not. I wonder why our great kind God permit St. Paul to make a statement of that kind. I speak the truth, I lie not. Our Heavenly Father knew that down here at the end of the age, that the ransom sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be shamefully denied. And Paul said, I speak the truth, I lie not. That ransom sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will do the work. And in this chapter that I'm quoting from, the 35th chapter of Isaiah, there we read in the 10th and 11th verses, the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Where were they? Right here upon the earth. They're going to return, yeah? They're going to return where they were. That's plain English, isn't it? The ransomed of the Lord shall, that's positive, return. Well, how are they coming? Will they be angry? Will they be upset and perturbed? No. No, your Bible says the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and they shall come with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Our loved ones that we laid away in the grave, yes, they're going to come back just as true as you sat in that seat. The ransomed of the Lord shall return. That's why Jesus said, all that are in their graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God, Prince Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the King. They'll all hear his voice and come forth. Come forth. They that have done good unto thee, resurrection of life. That's one class. And they that have not done good unto a resurrection by judgments, a thousand-year judgment day. Firstly, those that followed in the steps of Jesus. They would have part in the first resurrection. Revelation 20 and 6. Blessed and holy is he, or she, who hath part in the first resurrection. For on such the second death hath no power, for they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. And what is this reign for? To bless all the nations and the families of the earth. To bring them out of their graves, both the Jew and the Gentile. Jesus told us something about this. Jesus said in the 19th chapter of Matthew 28-29, he said to his disciples, in the regeneration, that's it, that's the 1,000-year reign of Christ, when the human family will be regenerated. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, then shall ye, those that will have part in the first resurrection, then shall ye sit upon thrones. And what is the work? Judging the 12 tribes of Israel. How many tribes? 2 tribes? No. 10 tribes? No. British Israel isn't in this at all. 12 tribes of Israel. The whole house of Israel. The 37th chapter of Ezekiel, the Lord said in 12, 13, 14 verses, talking to the house of Israel, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves. I will plant you in your own land, L-A-N-D, land. I will plant you in your own land, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And I will put my spirit within you, and ye shall live. They must be dead. He's going to make them alive. The Spirit of the Lord. When I was a boy, I was taught the Lord to take a spirit out of the spirit realm and put that spirit in the people. The Bible don't teach that. That's all wrong. I will put my spirit within you, and ye shall live. The whole house of Israel, the valley of dry bones. And you see how they're coming together? Sometimes they make quite a little noise, too. Bone upon bone, sinew upon sinew, and flesh upon these bones. Who are they? Oh, look at that great army in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Who are the Ezekiel? The Lord said, this is the whole house of Israel. 2 tribes? No. 10 tribes? No. The whole house of Israel. I don't think it's very far off, do you? No, it isn't very far off. And Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, know ye the kingdom is at the door. In 2 Timothy 4:1. We read about that kingdom that Christ Jesus sitteth at the right hand of the Father. From thence he shall come before to judge the quick, the living, and the dead. When? At his appearing and his kingdom. That's when it's going to be done. That's when the judgment will take place for the human race. At his kingdom, there it is, in your Bible, that glorious kingdom that you've been praying for. What is that kingdom? Your Bible tells you that that kingdom means a kingdom of kings. You remember reading in the book of Revelation, the last chapter, about the golden city, the divine government coming down from God out of heaven? Yes. And what was it? The bride and the husband. The Lord Jesus and his bride. All of those that will have part in the first resurrection. That's the kingdom of kings of Christendom has been praying for. Thy kingdom come. A kingdom of kings. to bless all of the nations and the families of the earth, to bring back the dead. And St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:21, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive again. When I was a boy, I was taught different. As in Adam all die? No. As in Adam all fry? Bible don't say that, friend. As in Adam all die. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, always was and always will be. Nothing more but death. Yes, I was reading in the paper about a man that was in a terrible accident, John Brown. His head was severed from his body. John Brown wasn't a very good man. No, he didn't belong to any church. And he was considered by Christendom a bad man. But they called a doctor. It was useless because the man was dead. Of course, you had to pronounce him dead. The newspapers pronounced him dead. And the Bible pronounces him dead too. God said he was dead. John Brown's dead. Well, what will we do? Well, you'll have to get an undertaker. And when the undertaker got through with him, he surely was dead. Yes, John Brown was dead, all right. Everybody said he was dead. What a terrible accident. Well, now what will we do? Well, you'll have to get a minister. And they didn't know who to get. Oh, they finally found a man. And this man knew John Brown pretty well. He knew he wasn't a very good man. Well, he didn't have much hope for John. He had to put him down in that hot place. Everybody said that he was dead. The Bible said he's dead. The dead are dead. The dead know not anything. There's no wisdom or device in the grave whither thou goest. In that very day you die, your thoughts perish. John Brown was dead. The minister said, he's alive. Do you believe that? That's the lie that the devil told in the Garden of Eden. That's right. Do you think John will come back? Yes, friends, John Brown will appear too. Jesus died for all. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. John Brown will come back. And when he comes back, friends, he'll know that he's in the kingdom. He'll know that now the kingdom is established in the earth.